eye to eye means to agree upon something together, a sense of purpose. When you talk about let's see eye to eye in this matter, it doesn't mean let's just stare at one another. It means let's get some kind of an agreement and find a sense of purpose in what we're doing. So I believe God is asking something of us, to be able to look back at him when he looks at us, because when God's eye is on us, that eye of his is purposeful. It's saying something. I'm reading a scripture here in 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, the word perfect, shalem, is used quite often in the Hebrew. It speaks of peace, oneness, wholeness. It's a word that is, if you like, double-ended. It's like, it's not a two-edged sword, but it is like a circle. It needs to be completed. The word shalem is something that when you do shalem, it's got to come back to you. So that the word perfect, shalem, means we need to perfect this, what we're doing. We need to complete what we're doing here. Make it whole. Peace. And the word peace means to be at one. So it contains the meaning, when you look it up in the Hebrew dictionary, to reciprocate. So God looks at us with his eye and he says, I'm seeing who's looking back so that I can show myself strong on behalf of those whose heart is actually completing what I'm doing. I'm looking at you with purpose for your life in my heart, and I want you to look back at me and say, got it. Okay, you've got me. I'm looking back. I'm looking back at you too. Now the mind, physiologically, will go where the eye goes. If you look at something, start to stare at it, a painting on a wall or whatever it is, you look at it with your eyes, your mind is there. You don't look at a thing fixedly with your eyes and think about anything else. You look at something and that's where your mind is. So the eye is critical as far as being human beings. We place a great weight upon how a person is looking at you. What are their eyes saying? It's not just a face. You can see how a person might deflect their glaze, their gaze, and not be able to engage you or look down or look away. And there's something within us that takes a lot of notice of where our eyes are going. You can walk down the middle of the street and you can start staring up in the air, and you get a crowd around you looking up. What's he looking at? We take a lot of notice as to the direction of where our eyes are going. So how do we look back at God? Well, our mind looks back at God. We look at him with a renewed mind. In Isaiah 26 verse 3 it says, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. And that's where we're looking. We're looking purposefully back at God. In 2 Corinthians it says, we look at the things not seen that are eternal. So, okay, we don't see God, but we see the things of God that are eternal. And the word there, we look at the things not seen. The word there is scope. We scope them. So I get the thought of scoping things. Think of a submarine and a periscope. You can be under the sea. It's murky. It's dark. You can't see anything. You're in the submarine. But, hallelujah, you put the periscope up and up goes the scope. Peri means around and scope means look. And all of a sudden, you're in another world. You're down there, but you can see another world. And that opens up to you. You can scope something. That's our faith. We see, we scope the things that are not seen. You can always look at the things that are seen that pass away. But when we come up out of that place of disorder or darkness that just might be causing the sort of affliction or confusion that can happen in the things of the world, you put your scope up and you're in that place of seeing the things that are not seen. That's faith. But what do we see? With this eye of faith, what do we see? Faith is the reality of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We see things. That's what it says anyway. Faith is the reality of things. You think, well, things can be anything. Now, that word in the original language is pragma. It means the deeds, the plans. When we look with faith, there is purpose involved. And what we do is we look at the work, the plan, the purpose of God concerning the things that He is doing. Our faith is based upon our assurance that God is doing that good thing for you that He has caught your attention on by getting His eye on your eye and saying, look back and realize that when I look at you, I want you looking back and I want you with your scope to see that I am at work on your behalf. Your faith does not depend on how much you can believe that something might happen that you want. That is not faith. That's wishful thinking. And it's good to have. And it works. Because the bus does come along at the right time. I hope the bus comes along. I hope that's the substance of things not seen. I hope that's the evidence. And it does. You think, well, that's faith. Yeah, but that's something that you can work up. I'm talking about something that God is doing, His plans, His purpose. Our faith is that God has got things in order for our lives. And He's at work every moment that you're engaged, eye to eye, knowing and acknowledging that that is your faith, that God is at work and you can be at rest. And you can ask Him then to align you with, what is your purpose, Lord? Help me to see it. That's maintaining the gaze, the scope. David in the Psalms, he knew that God was purposely thinking of him constantly. He says in Psalm 139, he says, your eyes saw my unformed being and formed my days for me before they began. He knew that, God, you set me on a course. You set me on a purpose. It's amazing the grasp he had of seeing eye to eye with God. How precious also are your thoughts, and the word that is intentions, your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Upon awakening, I continue to be with you. So he's conscious of the fact that all day long, God is thinking of him. And the word is not just God having a little bit of a daydream about him. It is purposefully, with intention, beaming his thoughts towards David. And if David looks back with faith, he can catch the revelation of what the Holy Spirit is telling him God is purposing with his look. Because remember, when you look at something, that's where your mind goes. And your mind is taking purpose with it. It's not just random looking, it is looking with purpose. And that's upon which everything hinges about what I'm saying today. Now, good old David, he'd let himself down time and time again. He had a heart after God, but he let himself down. And he used to nosedive dreadfully. He'd go through times of isolation, depression, and almost despair. He was a human being, like us, until he'd cry out and say to the Lord, I want to behold you eye to eye again. I've had enough of this going around in this wilderness in my head and in my soul. I'm going to fix my mind. I'm going to start looking at you. And he says in Psalm 31, for I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before your eyes. He could feel it. He turned away from the gaze of God. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Look, these are some of the things that David went through. It's in the same psalm, actually. And then there's other psalms that just bring home the point that you know, if David went to see his GP, he'd say, look, I want you to fill out this form. How often do you feel you're not worth anything? All right. Do you find that you avoid people? Okay, I think I've got your list here. You're in depression, all right? Now, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to write you a prescription. You need help. And this is what David would say to the Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord. I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. In other words, he's looking at the wrong stuff. Yes, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief. My years with sighing, my strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. I'm repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I'm forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I'm a broken vessel. Well, he needed more than somebody just saying, oh, come on, cheer up, David. Things aren't that bad. When things are that bad, they're that bad. And that's very real. I believe David speaks for humanity here. He sees the way that the soul can become, in a sense, desperate and cut off. But when he turned to the Lord and cries out to him, he's restored. And David knew that. And there are beautiful, what they call, psalms of ascendancy, where David hears the Lord saying to him, strengthen your heart. Be of good courage. Be of good courage, and I will strengthen your heart, you who hope in the Lord. And so God responds and gets David hoping again. All right, so now, where is God active in the earth most significantly right now at the moment? In this age in which we live right now, on Australia Day, in Australia, in 2020, where is God active most significantly? Well, where he is active most significantly is right now in your life. That is the most significant thing that God is doing. As far as you're concerned, if you are alive and on this planet at this moment and you know there's a God, then I'm telling you that God is looking at you, and the most significant thing that he's doing as far as your life is concerned. You think, oh, what about other people? Forget that right now, please. What is the most significant thing in your life right now? It is that God is looking at you with purpose. Now, once we appreciate that, there is a turning point that comes in our life, because we are so distracted by everything else that we're looking at and looking at. As I said before, if you're looking at things and people are looking at you and they see you looking everywhere, they're going to be looking, where are they looking at now? If you set your gaze on something that's purposeful and real, then that's where God wants to address you, because that's where he's looking at you, looking at that. And he's saying, now look at me in that thing. So right now, as far as you're concerned, God is vitally interested in that thing that you are occupied with in your mind right now. Now, what is it? It's not a game of Scrabble that you might have been playing yesterday. There are things on your mind right now that you came to church with. God is occupying that place that you're occupying in that situation, and he's saying, this is a turning point for you. Look at me, because this is a time of purpose for you now. I want whatever it is that you're doing, even though you think this shouldn't be happening, I wish it wasn't happening, I wish I'd have done something before this sort of crisis came or this challenge or whatever. God says, don't think that. Look at what's happening right now and say, thank you, Lord. I am going to find purpose and meaning in this, because you're looking at it too. And you're doing something in this thing I'm going through, and it is the most significant thing that's happening in the earth for you, Lord, because of me. Otherwise, you wouldn't have created me and you wouldn't have let this scripture exist. But you did. And your eyes are going to and fro saying, whose heart is perfect towards me? Who's going to reciprocate? Who's going to look back? Because whoever looks back, I'm coming into their life in whatever they're doing, and I'm saying, that's happening to you is real. It's real for me. It's real for you. I'm going to give you a sense of purpose and faith in that, that I'm at work to do you good in it. That's how to live a Christian life of faith. And he's given us eyes to see that he's there doing it. Philippians 2, it is God who works in you to choose and be active in his purpose. How does God work in you to get you active in the thing that you're doing in his purpose. Do you think maybe it's called grace? I think maybe it is, because it sure isn't our invention. Or some psychological trick. It is looking with eyes of faith. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And I'd like to add another bit on that verse. I don't like adding to scripture. I think it's wrong, but I'm going to do it this time. I will guide you with my eye. My thoughts and intentions will penetrate your thick skull. You can leave it out if you like, but I just... I can't find it. I'm looking for it in there. I'll tell you what, I know God is intensely intense about getting us into his purpose and getting our lives, no matter how disordered they may be or confusing, to gather up his goodness and goodwill towards us and bring purpose and meaning into the very difficulty that we're going through. People in the world would say, you're mad. There's no meaning in that. Well, if you're going through it, it's got meaning, I tell you, for God. All right, so what stops us from being actively engaged with God at any time? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, it starts off saying that one of the biggest problems is ignorance. And he says people are alienated from the life of God, and he doesn't say it's because of their sin. I mean, of course, that's doing its work. There's no doubt about that. But what he's trying to aim at, because he's talking about people being renewed in their mind, he says people are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them. They don't even know that I'm there to want to get into their life. And that's what he wants to address first. What ignorance? Well, maybe they've never heard it before. Maybe they've forgotten it. Maybe they didn't understand it. Well, God says, I want you to understand. Read these scriptures. Ask me. What about condemnation? Well, Lord, yeah, I do understand it, but it's not for me because I'm not worthy. Well, we're going to have to get over that one too. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free from the law of sin and death and bringing me into the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Oh, well, I've been distracted. There's too much other important stuff. And God says, well, I want you to put this time aside. This is important because it's you and your life and it's me and it's my eye looking at you, looking at me, to see if your heart can be perfect towards me. In other words, to see if you can look back and wait for a moment, gather yourself, trust me, know that I'm good, affirm yourself in the work of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit within you to engage you with the truth of the revelation of who I am within you, and let's go. Let's go through this thing together. And also, the one who stays eye to eye with God is kept in a special place in his heart. I said face to face is a very comforting thought. Eye to eye is more about purpose. And the turning point is the turning point. It's that point at where you say, okay, I've got the message. I'm listening, Lord. And this is the time for things to turn around. You mean you're going to change all the circumstances? Not necessarily just now, but this is certainly the time things are going to turn around, because you're going to become a different kind of a person in this. You're going to start having an expectation of hope and faith, of your periscopes up. You can scope my world, and you're knowing that my goodwill is beaming into this, and I'm working all things for good. Be patient. I have been with you, haven't I? Be patient. He wants to do us good. It's a special place in his heart. It's like heart to heart. It's like eye to eye. Psalm 17, David said, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. And God says to his people in Zechariah, he said, he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. You know, when you're in eye-to-eye contact with the Lord, God's not going to let anything come and take up that space to distract you from his purpose coming into your life and his keeping power. And David said, when I awaken, you're still with me. In other words, I was asleep all night, Lord, and you were still there, and now you're here. Here's today. Thank you for today. And when we awaken to the knowledge that he's continually with us to do us good, our conscious thinking of what God is doing changes us. It changes me. I'm a different person when I stop thinking about what I'm thinking about me. And I do that a bit. This little essays. Oh, could have done that better. Why didn't you do this? Well, when I start to think about what is God doing in me, it changes me. I actually grin at the things I was worried about, and especially the things about me that I was worried about. Well, you can sort that out. It changes our faith, our perspective, our soul becomes whole. Our emotions become calmed by peace. Our mind can become reordered. Start to think straight. Things come into your mind that you think, why didn't I think of that? God says, well, you're looking the other way. And our will becomes empowered by grace. I couldn't do this before, but now I feel I can get this done. Okay, that's the starting point for every day's activities. So let's go after it. Amen? Amen.